He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Friday. I just realized something. It's Friday the 13th. The Friday the 13th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And don't forget, tomorrow's Friday the 14th. Don't forget the roses. The Dow was down yesterday. The NASDAQ was down 2%. Wall Street has it wrong. Again, Barry, the market has it wrong, and I'll tell you why after I get through these opening numbers here in the market. Right now, the we're off on the wrong foot, but not too much of a downdraft here so far. We've got the Dow down 0.34%. The NASDAQ is down 0.43%. I'm presenting this in a little bit different fashion. Oh, now it's coming back. The Dow's only down 63 points right now. NASDAQ down 67. S&P down 8. Russell 2000 is up 9. A little bit of risk on with interest rates plunging today. There's the story of the day for me. You've got the 10-year clear down to 4.07 after the market has been scaring us all week. The market sometimes is the boogeyman, and I'll explain why here in a bit. And we've got crypto. Now, there's the boogeyman. Crypto is down again. It's had a rough week. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. Well, you know, in my book, the market has it wrong again. It's been trying to scare us all week. This really began several weeks ago with the bludgeoning of the software sector. And what that the market is trying to tell us is that AI is going to take over and squash all of these companies, and we won't even need them anymore. We'll just go to ChatGPT or Grok or whoever your friendly AI chatbot is. I think it's way overblown. Let's not forget, this is the market that last year at this time, maybe a little bit, yeah, about this time, said that the tariffs are going to ruin the economy, ruin the market, crush profit margin, cause inflation, and here we are over 1 year later. And I'm the guy that wrote the article that said the market has it wrong, right at the bottom when the S&P was at 4,800. And I'm here to tell you again that the market has this AI bit wrong. Yes, there are going to be a lot of companies that will be injured and hurt. And certain professions, maybe a software programmer, for instance. But for the most part, AI is not going to take over the world and crush all of these 100 companies in the NASDAQ composite, like the market is trying to tell us it is, right?
Yeah, and if it does, you know, erode some of these earnings over time, right? It's not going to be, you know, abrupt, right? It's not just going to be all of a sudden you flip a light switch. I mean, you know, a lot of these companies have been through innovations over years,
yes.
Right? And so, you know, and it's the unknown, right? The biggest fear in the market, right? The market hates the most is uncertainty. And you know, there's going to be winners and losers, and that uncertainty, right, I think is what's kind of really fueling or stoking the, you know, kind of the coals of this whole, you know, every day it's a different industry, as you said in your note yesterday. You know.
It began with the software industry, Adobe, Salesforce, CrowdStrike, Cloudflare. And then it spread to the real estate service stocks like Zillow and CBRE, others.
Yeah, some of the data information.
Yeah, the data. And then it spread. Now it's spreading to the financial institutions.
Went to broker-dealers.
Like, is AI going to replace Schwab as our custodian? I mean, am I going? It's ridiculous. And then it spread to the big banks yesterday, like Citigroup and Goldman Sachs and Barclays, etc., over in Great Britain. And it's just, you know what, the market is wrong a lot. And a lot of times it is the boogeyman trying to scare you as you come around the corner. And, you know, look, there are a lot of stocks. Yes, we sold our software stock. I don't believe they're going to be crushed like the market is suggesting. And eventually the bludgeoning will be over. And there will arise some opportunities out of all of this. But right now, you've still got some very bad downtrends taking place in certain sectors. And when that all works its way out, but this narrative, and you know who jumps on a narrative like this and just talk about it ad nauseum, the financial news channels. For that reason, I don't watch the financial news channels. I look at the stock charts. I read earnings estimates. I go with what I see, not by what they're telling me. And it makes for good TV, and it gets everybody worried. They prey on to emotions, greed and fear, and they need ratings. So they scare people, and then they turn around and flip to the greed side. And everybody watching CNBC, and in the end, you're not getting very good advice, is just my take on the financial channels that I've seen off and on over the years.
Well, and the market tends to overreact in both directions, as you say. I mean, on days where, you know, they're, you know, it also overreacts on the upside at times.
Yes,
right?
So it overreacted on the upside with silver recently.
Right.
Silver was way overblown. Crypto. Oh my gosh, it's going to take over the currency. It's $125 for a Bitcoin. It is. It's wrong on both sides. And therein, anybody that argues to me that the market is efficient has not ever sat in a chair all day and watched the markets. There's a lot of inefficiencies. And that's what creates opportunities for people that are vigilant and watching it very, very closely. Asian markets retreat from records as AI scare triggers a global tech rout. And there's where I say it's gotten ridiculous. I don't think it's over yet, but it's gotten ridiculous. Okay?
Well, you had a French, it was a French, I forget the name right now, but it's a French software company that, you know, was really, it was down like 30-something percent, you know, a couple of days ago. It's like the biggest drop in their history, right?
Yeah,
and
this
CRTO.
Yeah,
that's
it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these stocks are just getting stomped. And it's going to create opportunities. Remember a year ago about the trade, the tariff wars and everything? U.S. signs a trade deal with Taiwan, cuts tariffs to 15% as Taipei expands purchases of American goods. The market had it wrong. Observers of the market, like Gunderson Capital Management, had it right a year later. Don't you wish you would have been all over that call I made when the S&P was 4,800. That was supposed to cause wicked inflation. Headline, CPI inflation rises. Less than expected in January.
2.4, right? Wasn't it 2.4%?
Yeah, 2.4. Okay, that's barely registering on the Richter scale at that level. Once again, the market had it wrong. Profit margins, all-time record this quarter, 13.4% net profit margin, all-time record. What happened to that destruction of profit margins? Now, I'm not the only one that says, after I sent out a bunch of tweets, X, whatever you call them, X messages and messages to my subscribers saying, the market is giving AI way too much credit here. Like it's God taking over the world and we're not even going to need God anymore. AWS chief pushes back on AI disruption fears. That's after I was doing it yesterday. Amazon Web Services, which is a company that is in trouble right now, I think, with their spending habits. But never mind. CEO Matt Garman said the fear that artificial intelligence models will replace major software firms is overblown. That's exactly what I said yesterday before he said it today. While acknowledging that AI is obviously a disruptive force, but it's not a disruptor like the automobile was or the airplane was. I mean, yes, it is a disruptor, but nothing to the magnitude of other disruptions we've had in the past. Garman argued that established service software as a service providers and large players have an inside track for winning that business. Although he cautioned they must continue to innovate or risk being disrupted. That risk is always there.
Execution risk.
Yes, yeah. We're all at risk of being disrupted on a daily basis. When we walk outside, we could be disrupted. The market is overreacting. Hey, gold and silver coming back. And Lilly, why are they printing a bunch of weight loss pills? We'll be right back. To the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. I have an article submitted here this morning. I can't disclose which stock it's about, but I would venture to say that maybe half our audience has owned it at one point in time. Maybe they own it today. It's one of the most widely held large tech stocks in the world, and you're going to be shocked at the conclusion that I came to. With a little help from my friends, the Best Stocks Now app, which is a form of AI, I suppose, but I use those formulas and algorithms that I created to help me make a final decision, to make this human being make a final decision. What I was shocked at most was the 5-year target price, okay? So be watching and seeking alpha over the weekend. When the article gets published, I've submitted it to the editors at Seeking Alpha. I did not expect to come away with this opinion of this stock at this point in time. So anyways, I'm doing a little tease, yes. I would tell you the stock if I could, but not until it's been released. We'll send out an alert to all of our, and if you follow me on Seeking Alpha, you will get an alert when a new article comes out. So far, I've fulfilled my promise of 2 articles per week. We're on a good course to achieve that this year. I think people need to hear more from us rather than less from us. I get irritated, I get ticked off every day when I hear things in the market that are wrong and misleading the folks, in my opinion, okay? I have a different take on a lot of things, and I've been known to, I've made 3 major market calls over the last several years. Each one was right on the money. The market had it wrong. And I think the market probably has this particular stock wrong. And again, I think you'll be shocked at our final conclusion on this major tech stock that they reported earnings within the last couple of weeks, and that's why we wrote an article about them. And I want you to be on the lookout for that article either later this morning, this afternoon, tomorrow, over the weekend, whenever. Usually they get published fairly quickly after I submit them. As long as I don't have any grammatical errors or spelling errors, I'm happy to have Grammarly today, which makes things a whole lot easier. You know, I didn't use enough commas before, Barry. Grammarly seems to like commas. You need a comma here.
Yeah.
You need a comma there. No, that's not a comma. You should be using a semicolon. Okay, I remember my punctuation class from the 7th grade.
Not my best subject at the time, but I've appreciated proper comma commas and hyphens and colons,
yes.
Post my schooling.
I like math formulas a lot better than punctuation. Yeah. But I did
give me a parenthesis. Give me a parenthesis. I know
yes.
where to put it. You know,
I had a world famous punctuation expert as a teacher, and he produced punctuation notes that he taught us from. And he says people that graduated from his class 20 years ago would come back and say, Mr. Meradian, can I have a copy of those punctuation notes that you taught us all? He was the best. He was a life-changing teacher for me. I liked him so well, and he liked me too. He asked for me to be in his class in the eighth grade, and he was probably the best teacher I ever had in my entire life. He was a big Bob Dylan fan, so he won me over there, and he took us to Shakespeare plays at the Old Globe Theater.
Wow.
And would explain all this dry humor buried in those Shakespeare plays, and I just really, he was just an unbelievable teacher that went the extra mile to teach us lug nuts, punctuation and grammar and, poetry and everything. I just loved the guy.
His last name wasn't Grammarly, was it?
he must have parlayed that used his punctuation notes to feed into Grammarly. Okay, we've got a lot of news to talk about here today on this Friday the 13th. Eli Lilly is boosting their weight loss pill inventory. Wait a minute, you say. It has not been approved. Well, I guess Lilly thinks they're going to get the approval.
They've been making them for a while. I remember the story about 6 months ago when they were already cranking them out.
Yes. I kidded that they're printing them on their 3D yeah. printer, but I'm sure they've got. I have a friend that's what he does for a living. He works for a company in North Carolina that makes drugs for, they're a contract manufacturer. He can't tell me who his clients are.
Right.
I've tried to get it out of him before, but he goes to Minnesota where they create drugs. He goes to South Carolina, Aiken. I think he goes out to Texas where they make these drugs for the big drug companies. It's like semiconductors. You know, somebody makes the semiconductors at the end of the day, Taiwan Semi. He is to the drug industry what Taiwan Semi is to the semiconductor yeah. industry.
And in the pill form, see, that's the other benefit. I mean, the fact is when you have more of the pill form, it's a, number one, manufacturing process. It's much cheaper to make. Better margins,
yep.
cheaper prices for us, and the fact is, it keeps well, right? You don't need the
yes.
You don't need the cold.
And I'll tell you another data point that I've seen is that people that would not take the shot in they could not administer that shot to themselves. Most of these people that are getting a prescription to the pill are first time users of the
right.
weight loss
yeah.
drugs. So it's just going to increase, the number of people that now will take the pill to lose the weight. Gold pullback considered a buying opportunity. I totally agree with that. There was a scare in gold yesterday. This whole AI narrative has been spooking even the precious metals markets. I guess AI is going to take over. We're not going to need precious metals anymore because of Sam Altman over at OpenAI. But anyways, I think, and one of our stocks had a very good earnings report today. We'll get to that in a little bit. It's one of the biggest gold miners in the world. I don't know if you saw this. I don't know if I'm reading this right. Alphabet's 100-year bond. Am I reading
that
right?
Yes. They issued a lot of these companies have been actually issuing bonds overseas, right? So I believe I don't forget the country that it's domiciled in, but it's essentially Europe. They issued it in Europe, and it's a hundred year Google bond.
What do they think? I'm Methuselah. What did he live to? 937 or something like that.
The duration. Just think of the duration. I mean, the problem with the long dated bond, it's more. I'd argue that that's more risky than certainly even than the stock. I mean, your interest
well, yeah.
rate risk on a 100-year bond is basically.
Do I have to wait around for it to mature? I mean, that's my great-great-great-grandkids that will collect on that baby. That's ridiculous. Okay, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about Rivian and Agnico Eagle when we come, and Dutch Brothers. Why not? We'll be right back.
This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. I'll be working on the newsletter today and into tomorrow. I have a very important update on this earnings season that's now probably 75 to 80% in the books. As of last Friday, the numbers were looking really, really good. But, of course, we have another week, a bunch of more data points and numbers rolling in, and it rolls into that aggregate number. We're going to know where we're at in earnings season, and that affects the target price of the S&P 500, which right now the consensus target price on the S&P 500 is up around 8,000, with the S&P at about 6,900. Well, we'll see where we're at after this week of earnings. That will be in the newsletter, in the macro outlook section of the newsletter. I was pretty busy in the market this week. You know, I took some very quick profits. You buy a stock, it takes a long time to get a 30 or 40% gain in a stock, theoretically.
Or it should. Yeah, it should, right?
But sometimes I get lucky. And I had three. I had two that were in the mid-30s and one that was in the mid-60s. That was within the last 2 months, okay?
All in the same kind of same subsector, too,
yeah,
right?
And I just said, you know what? I'm going to take it. It takes you years to get 30% if you own a Disney, or maybe never you'll get 30% anymore in a stock like Disney. And when some of these stocks went up, and you know, when I put the chapter in the latest book I'm writing on when to sell, sometimes you just want to sell when the getting is good. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's gonna, I didn't expect those stocks to move that quickly. And I saw all of a sudden this AI scare coming into the market, which probably is going to ripple through the market for a couple more weeks before people realize the market's got it wrong and CNBC's got it wrong once again. I just decided I'm just going to take the money and run. Take the money and run, and that's what I did. So you might want to get this week's newsletter. 4-week trial, GundersonCapital.com. And by the way, I send out alerts. I said, here's what I'm doing. I'm taking this thing. It's up 35% in 6 weeks. It's far exceeded my expectation. Oh, it's a short-term gain. There's really not that much difference in today's world between at the tax rates we're at now. What do you pay on ordinary income? You probably pay just a little bit more or about the same as you do on a long-term capital gain rate.
There's always the chance that that gain could
losing
evaporate.
The capital
gain. I mean, that's
gain.
The other thing, too.
I would rather take that 35% short-term gain than sit there and wait, you know, I'm going to wait for a year. You know,
well, and the thing is that, you know, the mismatch, the supply demand mismatch in, you know, memory and those memory stocks that may not exist a year from now.
No,
right?
And
knows?
The market has built in and looked way out into the future at this crunch. And they've already built in a lot of this shortage in supply. And there were some vulnerable sectors that have gone way up in a short period of time. Now, here's another one I think that the Wall Street has wrong here, the market has wrong. Rivian is up 19-20% today. That tells me there was a lot of short interest in it.
Certainly. That's a,
number
that's a
two, let's just
squeeze.
Look at the backdrop of the auto industry. Financial bloodbath are the words to describe the current state of the auto industry. And that would include Tesla, by the way. Since late 2025, General Motors, Ford, Stellantis, etc., have taken a combined $53 billion in write-offs related to their EV strategies, next-generation electric platforms, and pivots towards other models like hybrids. It's been a mess. And then you just had the government, you know, undo all the greenhouse gas standard rules that they had. On carbon emissions. And so I'm not a fan of Rivian myself. They've never turned a profit. It's very questionable whether they really ever will turn a profit. Their sales were down 26% quarter over quarter, year over year. Yeah. And their earnings were down 7%. There are no earnings. They lost 54 cents this year versus 46 cents last year. They continue to lose and bleed cash.
Yeah, and the thing is, take your risk elsewhere. You know what I mean? You can find plenty of risk if that's what you're looking for. That's just a name. I mean, it just seems like a name that's, I mean, it just, that's a tough space to be in.
Tough.
Look at Tesla. If they can't do it right now, right, in terms of, you know, in terms of the EV sales, and Rivian's not making robots and other stuff at this point, right? I mean, as far as we know, so.
Not a fan.
And I don't see as many of them. You know, I saw a lot of them at first. I don't see as many of them around.
Well, they're coming out with a new, what is it? It's an SUV type.
Oh, okay.
Of
like
car.
An SUV
so
one.
Maybe that'll give them some new life. The R2 will feature a dual motor, all wheel drive setup that provides more than 650 horsepower and 300 miles of range. But I'm just not a fan of the automobile industry, number one. And number two, the EV space, when I saw what happened to the EV car we bought, how it plunged in value, and there's no market for it, really, you know what, I'll take a pass. Okay, the
next one.
As a consumer,
it would seem scary to buy like a Rivian or, you know, Fisker. I mean, it's like, you know, buying some of these, it's like, what happens if the company literally goes out of business? You need the software updates for the car to work, right, going forward. I mean, it just seems like something I'd be scared as a consumer.
Yep. Now, here is one that is my cup of tea, and we own it. We have a big position in Agnico Eagle Mines, which is a $100 billion company. That's right. $107 billion, headquartered in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Earnings up 113%. Sales up 60%. It helps when the product you sell and mine and dig out of the ground goes from $1,800 an ounce to $5,000 an ounce. I mean, the cost didn't go up by that much, right? So they're printing money right
straight
now.
Straight to the bottom line, right?
Baby, that is the best of all worlds right there. Over the last 5 years, earnings have been growing by 23% per year. And this goes to show you, it's not just AI and bandwidth and computer stocks that are best stocks now. You find them from all walks of life, including a hole in the ground surrounded by a bunch of caterpillar equipment digging gold out of the ground. And Agnico Eagle, I mean, they're all over the world. But anyways, this is their fourth triple digit almost quarter in a row. I mean, the last four quarters, earnings up 101%, earnings up 81%, earnings up 89%, earnings up 113%. The stock is up 4.3% today, and it continues to be one of our largest holdings because we own it. I think we own it in three of our portfolios. I think it's sprinkled. I know it's in the Premier Growth. I'm pretty sure it's in the value, and I think it's in the ultra growth. The only one it's not in is the emerging growth, where we, you know, lean more towards smaller stocks.
Right.
So it could be our largest position, and they had a blowout report here earnings for this quarter, which should surprise nobody, but it obviously caught the Wall Street off guard because the stock is up 4.2% here today after that report. Okay, the next one I want to look at, I'm just going to throw this out. It's an interesting story. We've owned it in the past. There's one right on our corner that just took over a Clutch Coffee, Dutch Brothers. I think it's a good growth story, but it is a crowded space. We don't currently own it. This would be in the emerging growth portfolio where we did own it at one time. Dutch Brothers has a great growth story, a very good CEO. The stock, however, today, that's a lousy chart. And I just want to say that, you know, these kinds, we don't own one fast food restaurant related stock. That's a bad place to be right now with competition from DoorDash, from Uber Eats, from Instacart, people not even going to restaurants anymore, having them delivered to their doorstep instead. And the crowded space, I mean, where else can you stick a Starbucks? And Dutch Brothers is going to come in and, you know, squeeze one in between two Starbucks, I guess. I'm not a fan right now of the stock, but it is a growth story that's interesting to watch. And they are springing up around town, around our neighborhood. The jury's still out on it, but interesting story. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, how about Westinghouse? Westinghouse, you say? Westinghouse isn't even, you know, they started off by making air brakes for trains to bring those trains to a safe stop. So everybody in the back didn't end up in the front of the train, you know. That's never good. That's the way my father used to drive a boat. You know, every all of a sudden you'd be in the back of the boat and all of a sudden you're in the front of the boat because he had slammed, he would pull that throttle back. I said, Dad, just gradually do it. Okay.
He's like, grab the and he's like, grab the anchor.
You're yeah, at the front well, now. We left the anchor down. Cameco is, Westinghouse was bought out by Cameco and Brookfield Energy Partners, BEP. BEP owns 51%, Cameco owns 49%. We own Cameco because we still think there's a big future. There is. It's not a question of if there is a big future. It's when they can get it online, and that's more nukes, more nuclear power plants. And Westinghouse, that was one of their big things. And Cameco being in the uranium business and 49% owner of Westinghouse. And by the way, Westinghouse is building a facility here in South Carolina out in the Aiken area. So that they can start ramping up, you know. I think there's 5 to 10 nuclear power plants on the drawing board right now. The administration, the current administration, is friendly towards new nuclear power coming online. And I think even the, you know, if the Democrats were to take over, I think they're pretty friendly towards nuclear power. They're all recognizing it as renewable energy.
And you have to. I mean, the thing is the one constriction in, you know, this AI build out is power generation.
So well, I mean, exactly you right.
Either Cameco, on either side.
Well, and you know, in the interim, I mean, Trump, he's boosting coal again because there's a gap that we got to fill between now and then when we have nuclear online. And these small modular reactors, you heard me say the other day that that could be out 6-7 years from now.
Yeah, SMR, what'd you say it was like 2030?
2034 or something, like that. So, yeah, you know what? They're not coming anytime soon. Although we have small reactors now powering aircraft carriers and submarines, and I learned all about this from these kids that are in my little church duties that I have. They are all in nuclear school here in Charleston. You know that even the captain of the aircraft carrier has to go through nuclear school here in Charleston. So I'm learning
that's
a
interesting.
Lot.
You got I guess you got it. You got to know what your power source is, I guess, for that big old aircraft carrier, right?
Yes.
Whatever you're in.
I mean, that thing is powering the. So you're not down there underneath, you know, tinkering with a bunch of Caterpillar engines or whatever, like on a fishing boat. You're dealing with a nuclear reactor, which some of these freighters, giant freighters, are now going to be powered by nuclear. So anyways, Cameco is down. I mean, it's going to be, I would say it's not a long term. I'm going to say it's an intermediate term stock. They don't have something that they're going to roll out. They're not going to roll out five new power plants in 2026 and 2027, but they're coming. The stock is down 2.6%, but it has been a good holding for us. It's a $49 billion market cap company, and we continue to own CCJ, more, I think, down in our ultra growth portfolio. Okay, let's take a look at another one. I do not like, and I never have, like Pinterest. It's getting slammed today. This is the disaster du jour. It's down 21.7%. This could be one that is being disrupted by AI. I'm not saying that AI is not going to crush. You know, look at the printing industry. Along comes Adobe, right? With look at the photography industry. Eastman Kodak was in the Dow at one time. It got disrupted with digital. Pinterest is on the being disrupted side of the equation. That's the wrong side of the street to be on. I've never been a fan of Pinterest, and Pinterest is absolutely getting crushed today, down 21.5%. Arista had a very good report. We've made money in Arista in the past. They're big in the data centers. My only qualm with the Arista, I just believe that a lot of the value, I think it's a fairly valued stock at its current price. And the chart has been pretty weak also on Arista Networks. Two more in the news today that I think I'll mention here. The first one is Roku. Not a fan. We owned it a long time ago. Like during COVID, I figured a lot of people are going to be using Roku while they're homebound. Roku has got a lot of competition, but, you know, they're profitable. They're kind of a streaming aggregator, I would guess you could say. The stock is up 5.6%. Not a fan of Roku. That's one of Kathy Wood's. It has been. I think it still is one of her bigger holdings down there at ARK Funds. And the last one we'll mention is Airbnb. These are all good proxy stocks for this is a travel industry. Not a good stock lately. Even though it was a great idea, it was innovative, it was disruptive to the hotel industry. This has been a sideways stock for the last year and a half, 2 years. No interest in it at the current time. Okay, I'll be writing the newsletter today and tomorrow, sending it out hopefully tomorrow afternoon. Packing the bags for Houston, for Phoenix, and then Houston. A quick stop in Phoenix to watch a little Padre spring training and then do a workshop Monday night at the Sun City Retirement Center where they have a big investment club. I always enjoy going to that area of the world. I love that area of the world. Maybe I can help look for this poor missing lady while I'm out there, even though Phoenix is a few hours away, but you never know where she is. I'll have my eye open for her. And then we're headed right to Houston from there. The road trip begins, the Gunderson Nationwide Tour 2026. In the meantime, if you'd like to talk to us about portfolio management, go to GundersonCapital.com. You also get 4-week trial to the newsletter, live alerts, access to the potent app that I invented, or to set up an appointment with us about financial planning. 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Don't forget the roses.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.